Happy birthday, Ian.
Thanks, guys.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
It's so cold.
It's really
hot. Happy birthday to you.
Make a wish. Please let it be that we get home safely.
You guys are making a podcast.
For this.
Welcome to the podcast Nobody Asked For with me, Ian Harris.
And me, Graham Jones. And Nate over there somewhere.
Nate's over there, but we've got microphones. You can say hello if you want.
Hello, team.
Yeah, so we're in a car park, as we often are when we record on this setup.
A wet car park.
And as a change from the norm, rather than do your standard top threes, we're climbing a mountain.
It'll be fine.
It'll be good. The weather's all right. It's not too bad.
A little bit cloudy.
Good
view from the top if we make it.
Yeah. It was a good 2-hour drive here. We drove past a lot of what could only be described as aggressively majestic scenery.
Very aware that this is the podcast where we're raising money for a children's charity.
Yeah, Roald Dahl's Marvellous Children's Charity. That's why we're climbing today. And I'm not going to manifest anything, so I'm not going to make any jokes about it being a difficult climb.
Let's not do that.
It's going to be fine.
We'll be fine.
It's a hike. It's good. We're going to check in at regular intervals as we climb, because I'm going to need regular breaks, because I'm a large, heavy-set man.
you're looking fine.
Thanks.
Absolutely beautiful. Nate's already got his gloves on, so...
So we're good. So... We'll check back in at our next pit stop.
In about 10 metres.
About 10 metres. Right, there we go. Cool.
So,
I'll just hold it up.
Or maybe get Nate to hold it.
It's a bit of distance, just in case. But, it's our first check-in.
Like with that halfway lock.
I am rinsed. Turns out climbing a mountain is fucking difficult.
Yeah, it's a little bit more than we anticipated.
Yeah, wow. I was expecting the Snowden-style light incline into this is a bit taxing. Oh, we're at the top and there's this train.
Yeah, there's a reason there's no train to the top, but nervous. It's mostly stairs.
Yeah, it's fucking fuck. Like, we stopped a couple of times already and we couldn't record because I was just kind of like... Oh my knee. But yeah, this is fun.
We're halfway there.
Halfway lot. Lots of people giving us weird looks because we've cracked out microphones.
Well, you know.
We got a bit, so weather's good.
Weather's surprisingly good.
We might actually see views from the peak, which will be the first time I've seen a view from the top of a mountain, even though this isn't the first mountain I've climbed.
Yeah. A little bit chilly now, a bit further up, but
it's like considering we have considered the idea of photoshopping us at the summit.
Yeah, I think we'll be all right. So it kind of curves round where this is basically like a full summit that we're at, I think. Curves around, there's a little bridge over a waterfall, there's some mist up there, curves back around again, and then I think it's kind of a bit of an incline up to the summit. But
basically, it is tough, but basically if this was Mount Doom, Lord of the Rings would have been over a lot quicker. It's quite nice. There's
Four
no
snow.
I don't see snow, unless this is the... Is that the false summit?
Maybe it is.
Because if that's the false summit, I'm not a happy man.
Up there.
Like, if we get past this, and then there's one higher than this, fuck it, I'm going home.
Yeah, there isn't any snow. It did say it snowed yesterday, but I can't see any snow. But that's probably a good thing.
Yeah. Like, let's be real, guys. We're going to record where we can. This is very tiring. There is a chance that a good half hour of this episode is going to be recorded in the pub.
Yeah, I think that's probably
right. We're also very aware there's no format to this, which is something we literally told Nate, you need to make sure you have a format for your podcast yesterday. But we're deep down, we're very hypocritical men.
Yeah, but absolutely. Before we carry on, a few words from our special guest, Mr. Saunders.
So, it levels off. That's what I kept telling these guys, and it has levelled off. And I would like that to be put on record. It took a bit longer for it to level off than I thought it would. But no, I think we're doing good. I think we're having a good time.
Yeah. I will say that ever since we started, Nate was saying, oh, just round the corner up here, I think it levels off.
It doubles back a few times, then it levels off.
And no, round this corner, it'll level off. And Dear reader, it has just leveled off after 2 hours.
Yeah. I was right eventually. Just not immediately.
And eventually is all that matters.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I'm just recording. Because we're just going for it, because we're at the top. The best thing here, because the sound quality's changed, because we're now doing this on the phone. The last thing I recorded was 31 minutes from Hatfield, and then exactly a year ago, just new recording.
Nice. Exactly a year ago.
Oh!
And I bet you were at sea level when you recorded that.
We were. We were in a car park in Hatfield. So we are now officially the highest podcast recording in the country.
We are.
Which is nice. And they can never take that away from us. Which is good, but yeah, we're at the top of Ben Nevis, which is fucking wild.
That's pretty crazy.
It's currently snowing.
Yeah.
I have a birthday cake because my mountaineer buddies are incredible people.
And also, when we got up here, and you guys saw this, some people were like, "You guys are the best climbers that have ever done Ben Nevis." So I was quite chuffed by that.
Yeah,
it's quite moving.
Yeah. It sounds stupid. It was definitely more of a challenge than I thought it would be.
Yeah, it was rough. I've got a funny interaction that I can regale you about later, maybe on the pod.
But when we were planning,
to be fair, we have it right because we're driving back and it's less of a drive.
Yeah.
Later, but I was originally team. Let's stay as close to the mountain as possible.
Oh, I'm very aware.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was like, guys, I think you misunderestimate. Isn't that George Bush? Underestimate how much we're going to be struggling. But to be fair, it's a less drive tomorrow.
Oh, it's going to be a horrific drive back.
Yeah. But tomorrow will be better.
Yeah, tomorrow would have been.
But awesome. I just wanted to say that I was in a small way, right?
Tomorrow you're going to have the Doms.
You're going to get the Doms Monday.
Yeah, Monday. Right. Monday Doms.
That's why they're called delayed.
That's why they're called.
Yeah. That was a lot, man.
Fuck, now we've got to get down.
We've got to get down. How many times do you think you nearly gave up?
There was one, so we were about...
Graham was a professional the whole time.
Graham was the fittest out of all of us.
Consummate professional.
There was a moment for me what could only be described as depressingly early on.
The only one
then was... I was good, and then about 10 minutes ago...
Yeah.
When you were telling me about your heart rate,
yeah.
I got concerned.
At one point early on, Ian went, beep, 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 he's like, we've either hit 10,000 steps or I'm having a cardiac event. and both seemed plausible to me.
I think.
Because you were struggling.
Well, because of your reaction, I didn't tell you when we hit 20,000 or I had another cardiac event.
How many are we? Oh, I suppose it just tells you in intervals.
My heartbeat was about 160 when we stopped the first time.
We need to get stand on something.
Yeah, that was a nice. We've done it.
Raised $2,000.
2,200.
2,200.
I'm sure it's 2,200.
And more to come. More to come.
Yeah, yeah.
Doing business on the door, like I said.
More to come.
Sweet. Well, now I can kill people and say I've actually done it.
We could. So. I wonder if we're the only podcaster to have recorded at the summit of Ben Nevis.
Yeah, that is actually a good
thing.
I reckon we have.
Yeah. I think that's it.
Are they going to give us an award? I can't.
Highest altitude podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
I am really happy that they. This is also the first. We got nominated for an independent. Podcast award, which is great, but for jingles, and part of me is a bit bitter we didn't get the film and TV nomination, so maybe we put this episode through for like the adventuring outdoor one.
Is there one of those?
Yeah, sure,
yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
Suggest one.
Who's Peter Storm?
I don't know, but
it's what he used to write for the rugby paper, yeah. which is a reference to the car journey. Right, my phone's getting wet because it's raining.
So
we're going to read some reviews, but yeah, we'll fill you in on the way back down, and
debrief.
That was a thing. Thoughts on the descent by Ian Harries. Going down is a lot easier than going up. The Ben Nevis climb at no point levels out. It's good. Now we are seasoned adventurers. We turn, I nearly fell, but we're fine. Graham looked worried, but we're okay. But now we are seasoned adventurers. It's time to think about our next challenge. What shall we do?
Find ways to go downhill.
Yeah. Maybe some kind of valley or canyon. Maybe an endurance challenge. Maybe something that just involves not something like this ever again.
Yeah.
Apart from when I do Scarfell Pike to beat Graham's Three Peaks time, which if I'm Graham, how long? What was it?
15 years.
15 years. So I think I can do that.
I am now. So we're back. We're back in the hotel room.
Ian's hotel room. We have separate rooms.
My hotel room. Yeah, we're in separate rooms. It's the day after the mountain. The plan was to record a bit more on the mountain, but nobody wanted to hear me heavy breathing.
Just as a quick throwback then. So this time yesterday, we were an hour and 15. We're an hour and 15 minutes into the hike yesterday.
Yeah.
Cast your mind back.
Yeah.
How were you feeling?
So I think my brain was constantly at that point going, oh no. I've somehow thought climbing this mountain would be easy. Or to quote our compatriot Nate, who joined us, and as a sign of respect, we won't beep his name out on this episode, I keep expecting it to level out a little bit. But it was pretty, and like I know it's a mountain, but it was pretty consistently up.
Yeah, there was... So, this point yesterday, I'll be honest with you, because I feel it's a safe space, I thought that you might not make it, because there was one point you sat down and you told me that I need my heart rate to lower because it is 40 above where it should be.
Yeah, my heart rate randomly was 165, 170, early on in a hike, which wasn't ideal.
But we pushed through. We took... What, and this is not me saying it, so I'm not fat shaming, what Ian called a fat man pause.
The fat man pause, yeah.
There are a few of those. But I think, as I said to you at the time, it was better to slow and steady. We took the full-on turtle approach.
The fat man pause strategy worked, and we did it in 4.5 hours, which is around kind of the average mark you'd expect.
Average is 4, so we were, just a little bit above average.
But we also stopped and recorded a podcast for like 15 minutes.
There was part of that, yeah.
So spiritually, that's a 4:15. I think that's manageable. For people who are going to do Ben Nevis, the thing with the fat man pause is obviously one, you need to do a fat man pause when you need one. Thus the pause.
Yeah.
But also you need the right type of rock.
Yes.
So that you can sit down on your fat man pause, but also... have your bag kind of supported a little bit. Like how all those videos of people coming up behind their pregnant wives and holding their belly up a little bit.
So I, interestingly...
At one point, Graham did offer to take my bag, which is the most romantic thing anyone's ever said to me.
And I genuinely, and maybe I'm wrong, but I genuinely think if your self-respect and ego could have handled it, you would have given me your bag at one point.
It was more... I needed to do it kind of thing. It was definitely a, I can't not do this.
Yeah. But no, I think during those pauses, I made a conscious...
correct name?
Fat man pause.
Fat man pause, yeah.
I made a conscious effort up until we were on the final push bit that I was not going to sit down. I don't know if you clocked that, but I was like, if I sit down, I feel like this is going to make it harder for me to continue.
Yeah.
And then the recording stopped for some reason, which is weird. Like, it didn't stop, like, because we recorded another, what I could only describe as 30 minutes of some of the greatest podcasting ever podcasted.
Solid gold podding.
But then I think, like, the SD card went weird and we only got the first 3.5 minutes, which, you know, it's a shame.
It's really annoying. It was, yeah. I mean, like you said, two fails in 5 years. I mean, others may suggest we've had more fails, but two technical fails in five years
and those
probably isn't bad going.
Yeah, and those others would be very mean.
True.
But yeah, it was a shame. Lots of stuff, but we're going to try and recreate some of that now. So it is now Tuesday.
It is.
We climbed the mountain on Saturday.
Yep.
We drove home the Sunday, visited T-Bay Services, which I'm going to say was a highlight. And then...
Damn good steak ciabatta sandwich.
Very, very good steak ciabatta sandwich. I do understand why you ran away with the service station vote now. Like, it's solid. We had a solid gold podding session that didn't record, and we had a solid gold service station visit.
Yeah, I would have... if we weren't kind of like, you know,
trying to limit the amount of time that it took us to get home, I would have definitely indulged in the shop as well. But I think getting home in less than 10 hours was the priority.
Yeah, it was a long old drive. And then Monday happened, and now it's Tuesday, and we're catching up again, as if we haven't spoken consistently since then. But how did you feel post mountain? Like how's the recovery been?
So Saturday, I don't think all that time in the car helped. Maneuvering with your legs.
I don't think we talked about this on the failed recording either, but it is a historic moment that it was the only McMuffin I've ever regretted. Like, it turns out a McMuffin, our usual pre-festival McMuffin meal, isn't quite as good as pre-mountain sustenance.
No, I didn't mind it. I ate mine a bit slower because I did the drive to the mountain in the morning. So I was kind of like dipping in and out. And whilst I was going through those twisty, windy roads alongside the lock, it was kind of hard to shovel it in my face. So
maybe
that helped.
Yeah, we have a quasi-romantic friendship as it is without me feeding you a McMuffin as you're driving next to a really picturesque lock.
I think, yeah. I mean, if it was just the two of us, but, you know, Nate was there, we didn't want to make him feel embarrassed.
Well, exactly. And he was already annoyed he wasn't allowed to drive the car.
this is very true. But, yeah, no, I would say, yeah, the journey, I don't think, helped because I didn't move around too much. We stopped at T-Bay and that was kind of it.
On the way back, that was it. We smashed that journey. You had a little nap.
I did. Yeah,
which was nice.
Maybe 15 minutes. I mean, there was a long time I heard you two talking shit about me. I was just trying to ignore it so I could try and actually fall asleep.
Oh, but I know, but it was less talking shit and more treating you like you were a child.
that is fair.
Yeah, little boys, I'll tuck it out. And while you were asleep, I put £5 on Quinshon Judkins to rush over 50 yards, and I won a cool £85.
Nice. I had a ninefold accumulator that failed just because the Bengals did a tush push at the end and beat the Jags, and that cost me £550.
That's not ideal.
It's not at all. But yeah, so that's yeah. And then I think so. I got back. I Sunday night basically spent a lot of it soaking in the bath with Epsom salts. I basically found it was walking downstairs that was the difficult part.
Yeah.
And it was just my calves, really. That was the issue.
Yeah, my calves are still the issue. Everything else feels as bad as it usually does, but my calves feel like they go from feeling completely rock solid to feeling like they're made of glass, which is a really weird thing to kind of ricochet between.
Yeah.
Like, don't get me wrong, it makes sense because we did a lot of uphill. Turns out mountains are steep.
They are very steep. Yeah, I feel okay today though. I very nearly went for a run, but my better judgment said, give my calves another day to recover before I try and run. Because whilst I felt like I was okay, I figured I'd probably get maybe like a kilometre before it all went bad.
Yeah, you don't want to push it, because also, yeah, we did. Saturday was a lot, man. Saturday was a lot. But
I mean, it was 8.5 hours of continuous walking. It was 37,000 steps by the end of it, burning over 2,000 calories. Like, it's no mean feat.
No. It was good. Like, now there's a little bit of... I'm glad we did... Like I think I've said before, I'm glad we did it, but fuck me, it was horrific. It was... Well, what was your favourite part of the climb? Or favourite part of the trip?
The trip or the climb? The climb, I think, was definitely... without a doubt, it's summiting, right? Like, getting up, that sense of accomplishment, particularly because that 4.5 hours just feels like it's going on forever. Mm. And there's the full summit, which makes you feel like you're nearly there. And then it turns out there's another sort of like 35 minutes to go, mainly with little to no visibility, and freezing cold weather, including snow. So
yeah, because
when you get there, it's definitely worth it.
Yeah, it was completely agree. But also, I met a fireman.
You did meet a fireman.
Yeah, met a Carmarthen-based fireman, because that's what having West Wales connections apparently is. Just emerged from the fog.
Yeah.
Just a guy in full fireman gear.
To the point that you were like, you know, you kind of gave off this aura that you thought that maybe you were hallucinating whatever was happening ahead of you.
I think I was joking. But I was definitely in a mental state where I think you could have convinced me I was hallucinating a fireman.
I definitely had, as we were going down, there was kind of like, I don't know, hallucination is probably the wrong words, but like kind of like fuzziness in the sides of my eyes, I think, from, I don't know if it was to do with my contacts or what, but it definitely felt a bit odd. But I mean, it was fine.
Well, you stopped parenting us on the way down.
Yeah. Like,
you definitely locked in, because on the way up there was, and I caught a couple of them, and you regaled me with some I'd missed afterwards, but I caught one because you caught yourself doing it, of, well, do you want to stop here or do you want to stop a bit further up, which I've heard you say to your child.
Yeah, it's that very much giving the illusion of choice.
Yeah.
Which toddlers really like.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I could go a little bit further, couldn't I? And then there was a part where in no uncertain terms you told me and Nate we had to put our waterproofs on.
Correct. But the best part about that was you initially went, no, I think I'm all right. And then within 30 seconds realised that actually you probably should be.
Yeah, I should probably put my waterproofs on, shouldn't I? Because it was just one long, elaborate reverse striptease.
Yes. Yeah, like, yeah. Because it was toasty at the bottom.
Yeah. Isn't something they tell you about Ben Nevis that is basically reverse burlesque? But no, I got. Yeah. Like, if anybody wants, like, any, like, Ben Nevis advice, now we're certified mountaineers. One, do it in longer than 3 days.
Yeah, or if you're doing it in 3 days, I think if we were to do that again, I'd say we fly to Glasgow and pick up a car.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed. We got, I believe the term is fucked by traffic on Thursday, which meant we had to drive on the Friday.
Yeah,
The original plan was to stay up with your in-laws.
Yeah, Thursday night, which I think, whilst obviously it had an impact on us in not being able to get up there early enough and kind of have a full day Friday, I think the most disappointed person was my mother-in-law, because she didn't get to host.
Like we got a solid hour of hosting from her, and it was great. I can't remember what cake she made.
It was a plum and ginger tart that had literally come out of the oven as we got there.
Yeah, it was fucking incredible. Like, I nearly just stayed there. Like, a couple of things got me up the mountain, Graham. There was one moment where I literally looked at the fundraising page.
Yeah.
And memories of that tart.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I was also given homemade ginger cake, homemade apple cake, and homemade millionaire shortbread for us to take as well. It was basically a bakery. I was laden with baked goods.
It was great, yeah, just bricks of cake. I would definitely recommend not driving from the London area up to Scotland, sleeping, climbing a mountain, sleeping, driving back. Like, we had so many plans of things we were going to do that just became us all going back to our individual hotel rooms and having a bath.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. And also, even like, because if we were up there, if we'd left the lakes Friday morning, we could have gone and done like the Monty Python castle and seen a bit of Scotland,
or even just had the energy to sit in the pub for a bit longer.
Yeah, I suppose so. But I feel like we'd have like actually gone and sit, and also maybe found some decent pubs, because it wasn't great. Like, it was fine.
It served a purpose. We were basically staying in a fancy harvester.
Yeah, I think it was a Marston's, wasn't it?
It was a Marston's. I wasn't going to say their name. But yeah. Like,
it's not like we're going to get sponsorship.
No, true. I mean, I would recommend it. Like, it did what it was... So it was about 2 hours south of the mountain.
Yeah.
Which meant we didn't have to drive that extra 2 hours the day after. And it made sense. One thing, I'm trying to remember what we've already recorded that recorded.
Yeah.
And what we recorded but didn't record and we're recording now. I'm going to talk about the plane.
Yes, the plane. I don't think we did record anything about the plane.
I don't think we talked about the plane. I don't know why I've started going into a weird voice. So we were driving up towards Glasgow on the way there, and suddenly there was this loud rumbling noise as if a lorry was overtaking us, and nothing overtook us. And for a brief moment, I believed in ghost haulage companies. But it wasn't a ghost lorry. It was a massive, like, Hercules transport plane that was about 200 metres above us, banked at a basically 90-degree angle that was, and I think the phrase is, top-gunning down the motorway.
Yeah, to the point that I can't even properly recall it. Like, I remember it happening, but I couldn't paint you a picture of it because it felt so not real.
It went from one 90-degree bank straight into the other.
Yeah.
And it took us all by surprise, and we'd been driving for so long, none of us thought to take a photo.
Yeah. I blame Nate, because I was in the back, so I wouldn't have got a great picture of it. Or was I in the front? I can't remember. Or maybe I was in the front. No, I think Nate was in the front. I blame Nate. Regardless of where I was sitting, I blame Nate.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Nate managed to get a picture of Jimmy Savile's house. Didn't get a picture of the plane.
This is
like,
true.
The really cool plane, Nate manages to... Which, to be fair, Nate managed to get a selfie with the Jimmy Savile house while we were driving 40 or 50 miles an hour down a country road.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure how we managed that, but...
Like, it's impressive.
Yeah.
Not entirely sure why he really, really wanted that photo, but you know, you get people want different things from trips. I wanted severe pain in my calves that's not going away. You know, Nate wanted a house with a house. Don't think he wanted a house with Jimmy Savile. Nate wanted a selfie with Jimmy Savile's house.
Yeah,
and you
who
wanted
are we to stop him?
Yeah, and you wanted to just kind of like. Climb a mountain and occasionally have to stop because the two people you're with aren't as good shape as you.
Well, I will say it massive. Like, I think we caught this on the original recording bit, but it did massively work in my favor in the sense that I got to stop lots, but I never needed to stop, if that makes sense. So I just took advantage of you guys stopping, which gave me the rest without actually.
Sorry, can you just. The correct term for the stopping, please?
Sorry, fat man pausing.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, that was a humble brag and a half, and I do appreciate that. The recording actually dropped out just as you basically said, because you may not have noticed, but I never actually sat down on the fat man pauses, because I was worried if I did, I wouldn't stand up again.
Yeah,
sounds like you're driven by stubbornness.
That is 90% of what drives me, yeah. I'll be honest with you. And also explains my son's behaviour a hell of a lot.
Yes, it does, doesn't it? We made it up. We recorded at the summit where I had a bit of a diary entry on the way down. If you stay tuned after this, there is a postscript I recorded on the way home. And then after the credits, there'll be the noise of me getting out of the car after 10 hours. But... as this is the podcast nobody asked for.
Oh, sorry. One thing. I recall, whilst we were recording this, that I found a receipt in your room of the things that you bought to take up the mountain. And I'm going to try and remember exactly what was on it. I believe it was cheese, jerky, platter, which was essentially a charcuterie board.
adult Lunchables.
Adult Lunchables, which I did use. I did eat them like Lunchables, to be fair.
And I fucking smashed those out Sunday when I got home.
Nice. Oh, and another dad moment, actually, because I used my penknife to open those on the mountain.
Yes, you did. While we did that, while Nate just walked off with an old woman.
This is very true. This is exactly what happened.
We dubbed Barbara because she was the most Barbara-looking woman I've ever seen. And I mean, yes. She seemed lovely.
She seemed lovely.
But she's clearly a Barbara.
Do you know what? I'd have been very happy if Nate got her number and, you know, was living happily ever after with Barbara. But it sounds like it. Also, maybe he was playing it cool. Maybe he didn't want to tell us. But.
Yeah, because Nate was talking to this woman. Because Nate befriended everyone on the mountain.
Yeah.
It was like going out into, like, the town my parents live with them. Like, they just seem to know everyone. And
yeah, but he doesn't know them. He just talks to strangers, which I guess is kind of why he does the job that he does. But
yeah, true. But he then was walking, so started talking to her, and we did the very mature thing of just stood and watched him go.
To see. It was stop, let's see how far he gets.
Yeah, and then he ended up just about rounding a corner.
Yeah.
But also, we were so late into we were so late into the walk down, nobody could walk uphill anymore, so he just kind of waited until we were done with our Lunchables and kept moseying on down the path to reach him.
Yeah, so anyway, so the so it was platter, which is a charcuterie board. There was gum, I think, which was Nate's. I think that might have been everything, and then it was I distinctly remember the last three items because it was cookies.
Yes. yeah, there was lots of cookies, and the cheese wasn't cheese, it was Dairyly Dunkers.
Interesting that it came up as just cheese then.
Yeah,
because I would say Dairyly as a cheese is probably about as far away from cheese as you can get.
If there's any cheese that I think you could eat without issue, I don't think it should count as cheese. So that is what I thought would be appropriate mountaineering. Probably explains my Fitbit having a fit. Like, really, you know, if I was up there getting fueled by a McMuffin and Dairyly Dunkers, like, no wonder I struggled.
Yeah, but to be fair, there were those lads from Manchester who we passed a couple of times because we were kind of alternating stops, and the second time we passed them, they were sat down. One was eating a quarter pounder with cheese that he'd bought either, I'm guessing, the day before, because it would have been breakfast before they set off. And another one had a slice of pizza. So
yeah. But they made it to the top. Fair play to them.
Well, we don't know that. They made it to at least the final push.
True. They made it to the final slope, which there must be people who couldn't make it up there.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like you basically, there's, it would have had to take like a rock falling on me at that point to not finish it, because that's far too close to the end.
Oh yeah. By that point, I wasn't talking to anyone and I was just staring at my feet. It was a proper like one foot in front of the other thing. And then as soon as we were on the top, it's like, great. Just watch out for the cliffs.
Pretty much.
But because this is the podcast nobody asked for, we need to do a top three.
We need to. Yeah, I agree.
So top three things from the trip, top three things from the climb. What are you feeling?
As in two separate top threes, or just where are we going?
Well, what are you feeling about the concept of the top three? What top three should we do?
I think the original, when we did this before, we did of the hike.
Of the hike, yes. Because there was, number one was summiting, obviously, because number we climbed a mountain and we summited the mountain.
Yes. And I think, again, we spoke by a length before, but that like endorphin hit at the top definitely like recharged.
That endorphin hit kept me going for at least another 2 hours.
Yeah.
Shame it was a 4-hour walk down. But that definitely kept me going. That meant we didn't really stop the entire way down, apart from to slowly undress.
Yeah, there was that. Although I would say, I reckon 3.5 hours down. I reckon we're probably about 1/2 hour at the top, to be fair.
I think so. I think so.
Mainly because once you get to the top of Ben Nevis, you have to then do the most British thing ever, which is queue to go to the summit.
Yeah.
Which also, there was a great moment there because obviously people wanted their photos taken at the summit. And a man about four people in front of us was taking someone's photo, and his friend stupidly announced to the queue that the guy taking that his friend who was taking the photo for these people that were in front of them was a retired professional photographer, which meant about five or six other people also asked him to take their photo. But then we got to the front. I was like, "Don't worry." And then Nate had already befriended a Latvian man to take our photo
because a Latvian guy from Liverpool.
Yes. Which sounds like a an Osmond song.
Yeah. I was wondering if I would sing it to the theme tune, but I thought that was like a reference which I think potentially only my mum would care about.
I'm a Latvian. I don't know.
Latvian lover from Liverpool. You pay my something from LA.
Because
that's the other Osmond.
Wasn't it?
It's not Donny. It's the other kid. I want to say Jimmy. Different Jimmy.
Yeah, Jimmy Osmond. Yeah. There you go.
Little Jimmy Osmond. Okay.
I think you could have 10 guesses at this and you will not guess what the name of the album was that was released on.
The Subliminal Verses number 3. No, okay. No. Samsara.
No.
Casually Dressed and Deep in Conversation.
Funny enough, no. Okay. The album
Take
was
Off
called...
Your Pants and Jacket.
Killer Joe.
Killer Joe?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which... Just Google Jimmy Osmond Killer Joe and look at the cover of it.
Oh my fucking Christ. That doesn't look real. That is insane.
I also love the fact
that
he's
two,
called
Little Girls Are Fun.
Christ. He's called his stage name is Little Jimmy Osmond as well.
Jesus Christ. He released this when he was 9. That's insane. And it wasn't even his first album.
Yeah, that's mental, isn't it?
Fucking hell.
Anyway, I digress. Summer Sing number 1. I believe Befriending a Dog number 2.
Yes, Befriending the Dog. Because
Befriending the Dog.
After we... So the recording at the halfway lock.
Yep.
After that, I switched up hats, which isn't quite as reverse burlesque-y as the other wardrobe changes. But the time it took me to do that, you and Nate had wandered off, and suddenly there was a dog with you.
Yeah, there was a...
And not just a dog with you, a dog lying down in front of you, clearly, like, waiting for revelry.
But revelry, yes. So apparently, and we passed them further up, and obviously Nate got talking to them because Nate. But it turns out that... Because at the time when we were at the lock, we didn't know whose dog this was. We just wanted to play fetch with us. It kept bringing us a stick. We were throwing it, came back, it was lying with us like you mentioned. And then eventually it ran off, but there was a period of time where I thought we maybe acquired a collie. Basically it turned out from speaking to the dog's owner that she was hiking up Nevis, obviously, and her dog wants to constantly stop and play fetch, and she refuses to. So what it does is basically gets other people to throw the stick, which we were conned into it.
So number 2, being conned by a dog. and number 3, I believe, was me meeting a fireman.
And you're meeting a fireman, yeah, because you just seem very happy about the whole thing.
I was weirdly happy to meet a fireman. It was great. Even happier when it turns out he's from dad's side of the family's neck of the woods. A bit further west. Because if my firefighting charity Ben Nevis Googling is anything to go by, he's actually from Tenby, which weirdly we talked about at length on the drive home because Nate kept thinking T-Bay Services was Tenby, which is a very, very different place.
Yes, yeah, if we ended up at Tenby Services, we would have gone many miles in the wrong direction.
Or accidentally got on a ferry.
Or that.
Can you imagine when you fell asleep at the back if you woke up and we were randomly on a ferry?
Yeah, that feels very much like it. That's a sitcom episode, isn't it? That's an Only Fools and Horses episode.
What have you guys done?
But yeah, and then I think we did have a bonus fourth, which was Nate and Barbara, I think.
Nate and Babs.
Nate and Babs. Big Babs. She wasn't big at all. She was a very pleasant lady.
She was lovely. But what about three things from the trip, then?
Three things from the trip.
The number one for me...
Yeah.
...is we have raised just shy of £2,600 for Roald Dahl's Marvellous Children's Charity.
Mm. Well, actually, we've raised over £3,000 with gift aid. So
Thanks, taxes.
Tax relief.
And as of recording this, in a very super adorable way, Graham and I have raised exactly £856 each, which is wild.
Yeah, I don't know how that everything has coalesced to that, because that's very odd. It's such an odd... If it was both 850 or both 900 or a rounder number, but yeah, 85. Even if it was 855, it would make more sense. But
yeah, but no, we got exactly the same. But number one thing of the whole trip for that is, yeah, it's a lot of money for a very, very good cause.
Mm. Yeah, I think between us, we will roughly have paid for 99 hours of nursing time. Hmm. Yeah, which is really, really good.
Yeah.
So yeah, and I would agree with you there. I don't know if you saw, we had an email today from the charity asking if maybe you'd like to do Kilimanjaro next. So
weirdly, Kilimanjaro seems to be the one everyone says after I said we did Ben Nevis.
Right.
And it is just no. No. I will do Scarfell at one point just to beat your Three Peaks time.
Well, I mentioned this to my mother-in-law yesterday because I called her so my son could say thank you for the Duplo that she bought him whilst we were there. And I'd mentioned that you hadn't done Scarfell yet. And she was like, well, come up. You know, you guys have got somewhere to stay and you don't have to worry about all the travelling. And I think we'll probably have to do that relatively soon.
There is no world where my wife wouldn't come with us just to hang out with your in-laws at theirs.
Yeah.
Would she do Scarfell with us? Fuck no.
Not a chance.
She would happily sit there eating cake.
Yeah, looking after the chickens, having a whale of a time. No, you're right. That's definitely number one. I say number two was... I guess it's kind of linked to a degree, but I think like to the actual hike bit, because that's probably where, well, I think, no, actually we were all in an enclosed space for a long time in the cars as well, but just actually having an opportunity to hang out with not a lot else kind of going on distraction wise and things, and just chatting shit for literally 3 days straight.
Yeah. Yeah. It was good.
And then
it was good. That the smell is never leaving that car, though. Three.
Yeah.
In a broad topic, I will not be going into any details on.
Yeah.
There were two running jokes that ran through the entire weekend, which gave me energy.
Yeah.
But I am not mentioning them on the podcast.
I mean, one in particular was very funny.
Yes. And if it's the one I think you're talking about, probably accurate.
Yeah, well, I mean, there were elements of proof throughout, even in response to some of the jokes.
All good humour comes from a place of truth.
Absolutely. And then bonus for the cool aeroplane.
Cool aeroplane, yeah. The aeroplanes, I'll be real. Charity money, too. Like that plane was insane. Nothing makes you feel like a child like seeing a plane, or constantly we were pointing out tractors and diggers as if everyone else was a child in the car.
Yeah, I realised that my absolute instinct is to point out a tractor, a digger, cows, sheep, anything that can give a couple of minutes distraction.
It helped, man. I mean, I was driving for the majority of it, so you shouldn't have been trying to distract me, but if I'm going to be distracted while driving, I think... just watching Red Zone for an hour in the car on the M40.
Yes, yeah, there was that. Oh, we also went past three windmill blades as well.
Oh, yeah, that was fucking wild.
They were huge.
Yeah, windmills are huge. Graham also educated us on... service station that used to be a revolving restaurant, and on how much money we lose by turning off windmills.
Yeah, so yeah, I mean, it's fairly depressing, but essentially that there is a clean energy from windmills can overload the grid because we produce too much, but our infrastructure basically means that we have to then pay the wind companies to turn the wind turbines off, but you still need electricity being generated, so you at the same time pay the other energy companies to burn coal to make electricity. So today, wasted wind, which is the combination of those two things, has cost Britain £8,431,737. To date, we are the 16th of September. Britain has wasted £914,937,280 switching off wind turbines. So,
yay!
Yeah.
And on that note, over to me for a nice little postscript. Ah, actually, hang on. Before we do that, Grant, movie recommendation nobody asked for.
I assume you guys are here for a movie recommendation.
No, thank you. Nah, I'm fine.
Nah, I'm alright, actually. Thanks, mate.
Nah, I'm fine. It's alright.
No,
I'm fine.
Yeah, that's alright.
Fuck off. Oh, yes.
I mean, we don't have to fuck around with this. I remember what it was. I believe it was The Dawn Wall, which is the other documentary climbing up that cliff in wherever that cliff is from Free Solo.
Yosemite.
Yeah.
No, is it Yosemite or is it Yellowstone?
I think it's Yosemite. I'm not sure. Big old cliff.
Big old cliff.
Oh, fuck it up.
El Capitan.
El Capitan. So they're taking the hardest route up it, and I think they're on that cliff face for the better part of a month. Like, it's fucking mental. It's a really, really interesting documentary. I can't remember where it's available to watch, but as with everyone a couple of years ago...
iPlayer, free of charge.
Nice, iPlayer.
Oh, wait, no, sorry.
Did you lie?
Yeah, because I'd looked up Free Solo. Free Solo is on iPlayer, free of charge.
I went through a phase of watching rock climbing or mountaineering documentaries because I'm only a man. I'm a simple man with simple tastes.
That you are. I can't see that it's available to watch anyway. Anyway, if you don't want to watch people hanging off a cliff and sleeping in their tents because that makes you scared, is there anything that maybe doesn't make you too scared that you'd like to watch instead?
So when I think of cliffs, I also think of fjords.
Last time it was at a stoop.
Attestupa! Yes, it was the Attestupa, wasn't it? Because when we were at the top of Ben Nevis, there were big cliffs, and for a slight moment, I was slightly worried that one of us, not naming names, might accidentally fall off the cliff. And that did make me think of the Attestupa scene from Ari Aster's Midsommar. I believe we then made a Logan's Run reference, and I talked about how if I do start feeling like I'm drained on society, maybe I'll try to go up to Ben Nevis and find the Attestupa spot, which I'm assuming is there.
Mm. And just for kind of like reference points, El Capitan is 1,000 meters taller than Ben Nevis, so it's essentially double.
Fuck. Yeah, I'm fine with that. I'm fine with not doing that.
But anyway, that's stupid in Midsommar, right?
Yeah, exactly. And again, just to be clear, we didn't use any ropes while climbing Ben Nevis, which means technically I'm counting that as a free solo.
Yeah, there was zero protective gear, ropes or carabiners.
Exactly. And now we go to a nice little Ian postscript and stay after the credits for some bad back. Right, okay, I promise postscript. I've just dropped Graham and Nate off. I'm now driving home to mine. I'm very aware that in the last 72 hours, I've either been driving, asleep, or climbing a mountain. My left knee hurts. I haven't got out of the car in 5 hours. We did a big from T-Bay. We just like came straight home because we did stop at T-Bay. We got some nice coffee.
decent like steak sandwich. It was a good day. It was a good day. It was a good way to celebrate our independent podcast award nomination by stopping off there, given that we were nominated for the Pump and Go Fake Service Station podcasting team. But we just drove all the way back, played in one go, because I'm baller. But it also means I haven't attempted to stand up in about 4 hours, so I am slightly worried that I'm going to have to call ahead and get my wife to help lever me out of the car. It was an interesting trip. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. And deep down, I think that maybe the real mountain summit was the friends we made along the way.
No one asked for this.
Okay, bonus content. This is the noise of me getting out of the car. And none of this is going to be staged. Oh, fuck. Jesus fucking fuck. Oh, no.